Hello again, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this last day in March, the 31st, and a beauty it is. This is one of those days when I wish that all of you listening had been with Rhonda and Chrissy and me yesterday as we spent a good portion of the afternoon with one of our guests this hour, Lori Winters from the Milwaukee Art Museum. Lori has brought some extraordinary exhibits to the state of Wisconsin, and we had a chance yesterday to spend a great deal of time in the world of the Italian Renaissance with Raphael and Lori, and Raphael's painting, The Woman with the Veil, which some have considered is one of the most beautiful paintings ever made, and it is in Wisconsin. It will be at the Milwaukee Art Museum from March 27 through June 6. It is lent to the museum after quite a bit of negotiation from the Pitti Palace in Florence, and it is an absolutely beautiful portrait. It's in a room by itself. There's a film that Lori narrates that looks at a number of important people who were alive at that time, the influences of Da Vinci and Michelangelo, who was down the hall doing the Sistine Chapel while Raphael was working. What a time this must have been. And it's the kind of picture you can just look at. I love the fact that Lori has called this part of a slow movement in art, so that you're looking at one thing instead of having all of these gorgeous paintings in front of you. You have one of the most beautiful paintings in the world with a gorgeous frame, and you can just spend a long period of time looking at it. So we're going to talk about this exhibit, and they also have all of these book clubs and lectures that are associated with the appearance of Raphael's painting in Milwaukee. Lori is director of exhibitions at the Milwaukee Art Museum, and she has brought some wonderful, as I said, exhibitions here. A Renaissance Treasury, the Flag Collection of European Decorative Arts and Sculpture, Leonardo da Vinci and the Splendor of Poland, A History of Collecting and Patronage, Rembrandt and His Time, Masterworks from the Albertina, and most recently, Biedermeier, The Invention of Simplicity. And she's won a number of awards and has written books and written extensively about each of the exhibits that she brings to us. Lori, always a great pleasure to have you here. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Wouldn't it have been nice? We could have brought everybody with us so they had the same experience, because it was a wonderful day, and I thank you so much for it. Also joining us by phone today from Florence, Italy, we're having the director of the Pitti Palace in Florence. Alessandro is with us, Alessandro Cecchi. And thank you, Alessandro, so much for being with us, and thank you for letting that beautiful possession of that palace be here in the state of Wisconsin for some time. It is a beauty. Hello.
Hello.
And you were here, right?
Yes.
I understand you people had quite a party Saturday.
Yes, I had the opportunity to see your wonderful museum by Santiago Calatrava. I am so glad to have lent with Cristina Cidini, the superintendent, this painting by Raphael to the Milwaukee Art Museum.
Yes, I hope that it's been displayed to your satisfaction. I think it's absolutely out of this world.
No, yes, it has been hanged and exposed in the best way. In the Milwaukee Art Museum.
Yes. Also joining us in our Milwaukee studios is Carmelo Masecchia, consular correspondent for the Italian General Consulate in Chicago. She may do some translation and also talk about how important it is to have this painting here and what it means to Italians in America as well. Carmela, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, our great pleasure. So, Lori, how did you get this exhibit? Lori is really good at what she does. How did you get Raphael in Wisconsin?
Well, in this case, it was a great team project. It was a team effort. So, as it turns out, a number of museums in the United States were in conversation with the Foundation for Italian Art and Culture in New York, which is led by Ambassador Daniel Bodini. He has great connections with the museums in Florence and Rome, and he was very graciously lobbying on our behalf. And it was actually his idea to partner the Milwaukee Art Museum with the Portland, Oregon Museum, and with the Reno, Nevada Museum to bring this work to the United States. And the timing was perfect. I had been thinking about a single masterpiece exhibition for about 4 or 5 years, and really just trying to think about ways of getting people to look closely at a single work of art, because we've all become so used to the major blockbuster exhibition, which has 200 or even 300 or even 400 works, and they are wonderful. And we're certainly not going to deviate from that at the Milwaukee Art Museum. We love doing the big shows. But they have a different message than looking closely at a single work. So we wanted to be able to introduce that and allow people in Milwaukee to engage with one great work of art. So this is the first in what we're hoping will become a kind of masterpiece series for the museum. And we're certainly off to a good start. The response has been outstanding.
Yeah, as well it should be. Let's talk about this particular work. It has been described, and let me start with you, Alessandra, on this, as one of the most beautiful paintings in the whole world, which is saying that's quite something to say. This is one of the most beautiful paintings. Would you agree with that? And how do we happen to describe this particular painting that way?
Yes, the painting of the unknown woman with a veil, the Velata, is one of the masterpieces by Raphael. We are very lucky in Florence because in the Palatine Gallery we have 11 paintings by Raphael, beginning from the first period until the last period to which belongs the Velata. The Velata is one of the masterpieces. We know that Raphael loved very much young women, so Vasari reports that he died for the excess of his love, and the Velata probably was one of Vasari has told that he was the mistress of Raphael, but so he's a mysterious figure of young women, and so is fascinating for the painting. It's a painting on canvas in the Venetian style, so is interesting from every point of view in this painting. I am so glad that the American public can admire this masterpiece.
Mm-hmm. And let's talk a little more about the woman, Laurie. He used this woman in many of his paintings.
Well, Alessandro's right. This is a great mystery. We're now able to, thanks to art historical research over the last century, we're now able to narrow this down a bit. And we have a pretty good idea based on where this painting was in the mid-16th century and how it was described. We have a pretty good idea that this was the beloved model of Raphael. Raphael never married, but we do know from one of the great art historians, the first historians of this period, that the woman in this painting was his favorite model and also his beloved. And we know that when Raphael died at the age of 37 in 1520, that he still had this painting with him and that it was not a commission. It was not done for someone else. He did it on his own and kept it with him. So the painting and the woman in the painting were clearly very important to him.
Mm-hmm.
We've now sort of even, it's a controversy and art historians are divided on this. There has been a suggestion that the woman even now has a name, Margherita Luti. And so part of the exhibition really explores this issue of the identity of the woman. And to a certain degree, we ask the visitor to look at this painting and other portraits, other images, other paintings with this woman as the model, and make a decision about the identity of the woman and her relationship with Raphael.
And when we were at the museum yesterday, you were talking about another Raphael painting that you said was your favorite painting in the whole world, and it caught my eye. And then you said that. Was that the same? It's a Madonna and Child. He did a lot of Madonna and Child. Was this the same woman who was in that piece?
We believe so. It's a Madonna and Child, of which Raphael is, of course, famous for his many versions of the Madonna and Child. And this is a painting in Dresden, and it's called the Sistine Madonna. It's a beautiful, ethereal, tender Madonna and Child. He really captured the love between mother and child, captures that emotion so beautifully. And of course, anyone who's ever purchased a Christmas card has probably come across the image of the Madonna and Child, and certainly by Raphael at some point or another in their lifetime.
Yes, they certainly have. Tell me how you made the decision to let the painting, the masterpiece, come here to Wisconsin, Alessandro. Was it difficult to let it go?
No, no problem.
It was not.
The painting can travel without problem because it's on canvas. If it would have been executed on panel, some problems are because the panel paintings cannot travel or travel with difficulty for reason of conservation. In this case, there are no problem because the canvas is good for is on, and so the painting is important and is justifying exposition by himself without other works of art. I think is an ambassador of Italian art, Renaissance culture. So we have been very glad to lend this painting.
But you obviously had to have deep assurance that it would be extraordinarily well taken care of.
Yes.
Yes, I would think so. And you have taken care of it. You
yes,
really have
yes,
to.
Definitely.
And Lori, you have to. This is a prize, very, very, expensive painting, and it's
sure.
a masterpiece. So you have to take precautions,
well,
right?
We hope that over time, as the Milwaukee Art Museum does more and increasingly important exhibitions of international art, that we demonstrate our ability to care for and safeguard important works of art. So in this case, as when we have many important paintings at the museum, and in 2002, of course, many of our listeners will remember the great Leonardo da Vinci that came to the Milwaukee Art Museum. That was 2002, and the painting was Leonardo's Cecilia Gallerani, another great masterpiece of the Italian Renaissance. So over time, we hope we build a reputation for trust and engender that trust. And I find that is increasingly true. More and more, when we are in discussions with museums in Europe, directors and curators not only know about the great Calatrava building, but they also increasingly know what we've been able to do here.
It's not bad when they see the Calatrava building to... Well, I mean, you wouldn't think twice. Of course it can be here in this building. It's so extraordinary. Tell us, Carmela, about the importance of this to all Americans. A lot of people won't be able to get to Florence to see a lot of these great works of art. But there is something about all of our heritages. And I know that the Italian General Consulate is very proud to have this piece here in the United States, here in Wisconsin. Tell me about why that's important.
I think it's very important for the Italian community and all the American to get in touch with some important part of the roots of Italian culture, like Raphael, who was very influential after. And I also think that the painting is really represents this idea of beauty, of balance and harmony, which was typical of Renaissance, and should be very important for us nowadays, too. I also appreciate the idea that of a slow movement in art, because as a part of the Italian culture, the slowness and also simplicity, we used to say that important is to take ways from our life and concentrate on what is essential, and this painting can be a very important reminder of that. So it's something we can use as a model and example, inspiration in some moment of stress. So the beauty of this painting is very... charming and touching.
Yeah, I think that you in Italy and in other places in Europe know how to live more than people in this country. We take longer vacations, you know, you eat and you go to the grocery store frequently and meals are long and conversation is important and it's just a better way to live, I think.
It's very important. Of course, there are also, I think, some weather condition that allowed us to live like that, and a past that is very rich, very far behind.
Yes, yes.
There are way of living, but I think Americans are more and more interesting in it. I, above all, here in this area, I meet everyday people who travel to Italy and appreciate also the art conversation, and the good meals coming. And I think it's very important.
It is very important. Tell me about this slow movement. Is this something new in the art world, Lori?
Yes, it is.
It
new.
Is.
It's something that you know, I've been thinking about for about the last year or so. And was really one, it makes a perfect connection with this kind of masterpiece series that we're hoping to develop at the museum. You know, of course, the slow movement has its origins in Italy and the intellectual circles of Italy, and it's probably, you know, 15 to, you know, something like 18 years in existence, and it's been spreading widely. Most people probably know the slow movement through the slow food movement, you know, growing your own food, organic food, eating slowly, savoring and cooking and enjoying sort of life in that aspect. But there's also a slow energy movement, slow investing, slow money movement. And so just the whole idea of slow has really sort of taken off and captivated. And it just seemed appropriate at this time to apply that kind of rubric to what we're trying to accomplish with the Masterpiece series, getting people to look slowly, not literally slowly, but really to delve into the work of art, into its various levels of meaning and how it can captivate through the generations.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk, I'm thinking, in terms of movies or even books. If you've seen this, then you'll really like, and I have a feeling that until Lori brings other exhibitions here, some of you may need to get to Florence to see some of the others of the paintings. Let me ask you, Alessandro, is this, Raphael, one of your favorites when you look at the 11 paintings that you have at the Pitti Palace in Florence? Does this stand out, or are there some equally as gorgeous?
Oh, yes, the Velata is one of the most important, the most loved by myself too. And every day when I enter into the big, the rich, huge rooms of the Palatine Gallery, so richly decorated, so rich of masterpieces, I go to see my favorite, and the Velata is one of those, naturally. And so it is a pleasure for me. It's an emotion every day when I enter into the museum and I begin my day of work. So it's very emotional for me.
Not a bad way to start the day, right?
Yes. It's a better way to start the day, to go to see the works of art, the masterpiece. Our life is devoted to the research, the preserve, the conservation, the study of these paintings, of the masterpieces, of the works of art. So is one of the best jobs, I think, in the world for us.
Yes. Do you start your day that way too, Lori?
I'm actually feeling very envious right now at this moment. So. No, my day usually starts with the emails at the computer, unfortunately.
All you have to do is change it. You just walk into a different door.
Yeah, I need to apply the slow movement to all aspects of my life, I'm afraid.
We're going to welcome phone calls for our guests. Our number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. I know the exhibit has just opened. Some of you probably couldn't wait to see it, and you've already had a chance to go to the Milwaukee Art Museum and see The Woman with the Veil, Raphael's masterpiece, which will be in Wisconsin for quite some time, until June what, Lori?
June 6th.
June 6th, so you have time to see it if you haven't yet. We urge you to do so. Any questions you have about the Italian Renaissance, about Raphael, of course, at the same time, Da Vinci and Michelangelo, we can talk about that. We can talk about the ideal of women and beauty, and what was created by Raphael and by others to express the ideal of women. And plus, there's a lot of, you know, behind-the-scenes story, too, about the Pope and about Raphael and the woman and the engagement, the marriage that didn't happen, and more about his life, which we will talk about as we continue. Did I give you the number? 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. And if you would like to send an email, you can do that. That's talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we certainly welcome your phone calls. Maybe you just want to listen to us, which is fine with me, but I don't want to ignore you. And you can join us at 800-486-8655. Laurie Winters is with us, Director of Exhibitions at the Milwaukee Art Museum. Also joining us by phone from Florence is Alessandro. And Alessandro Cecchi is the director of the Pitti Palace in Florence, Italy. And Carmela Marsecchia, consular correspondent for the Italian General Consulate in Chicago, is with us as well. Here's the number once again, and then I just won't give it much anymore, 800-486-8655. Can we talk a little bit more about this women and beauty and the ideal version of what beauty is, and how Da Vinci did that, how Raphael did that, and why they were concentrated on painting this, Laurie?
Yeah, it's an interesting evolution, and at the museum we've developed some didactics and a video to help explain the evolution of portraits of women. Portraits in general emerged in the 15th century, hearkening back to the ancient world, the idea of the sort of ancient humanism putting an emphasis on the individual. So it's interesting. I mean, portraits really had gone out of favor for centuries during the Middle Ages, and because it was a period under the sort of the Christian Church that did not celebrate individual achievement. That started to return in the 15th century, and as a consequence, portraits return as well. So the idea of portraits in the 15th century was to look back to ancient Greek and Roman coinage. So portraits in this period are typically seen in profile, which is not a very engaging thing. But if you think about your nickel or your quarter, you know, in the United States, you have, of course, portraits of your presidents. Sort of that idea influenced portraits. And in the 15th century, the later 15th century, portraits of women were done almost exclusively as a record of a marriage having taken place. They were typically done to record a wedding. Occasionally, they were also done post-mortem as a memorial to a woman who had died. And so we see some very beautiful portraits during this period, but they typically have a kind of legal status or a memorial status. Interestingly, Leonardo introduces a different kind of portrait. He turns the body towards you, so the woman looks out of the portrait and engages you. And he also connects the woman's body to the ideas of movement and life and to nature, and he includes a beautiful landscape in his most famous portrait of the Mona Lisa, connecting her to that kind of magical, changing, diverse landscape. And so portrait under the great Leonardo da Vinci, portraiture under the great Leonardo da Vinci really changes as a concept. He introduces the psychology of engagement for the first time. And Raphael was very much influenced by Leonardo's most famous painting, the Mona Lisa. We know that he made a pen and ink drawing after it. He made a copy after the Mona Lisa. He was certainly imitating it. We have an early portrait when he was working in Florence that's a direct imitation. And I use the word imitation because that's what it was. Raphael was 30 years younger than Leonardo. He really looked up to him. He admired him. He thought of him as the great artist. And so there's a sense of admiration that comes through in his earlier portraits. But by the time Raphael becomes an artist in his own right, an important recognized artist working for Pope Julius II in Rome, he's still looking at Leonardo, but now he's in competition with him. He has his own concept of what beauty should be. And you can see him working with his favorite model again and again, you know, making adjustments to the human body, to the anatomy, and he's refining it. And he's developing an absolute sense of grace and perfection in the woman's body. Mm. Leonardo's portraits of women connect the body, the physical body, to nature, to movement, and to change. But for Raphael, it's all about what is perfection and grace. Mm-hmm. And I think that comes through very clearly in The Woman with the Veil.
Does it ever? Tell us a little bit more about the relationship that Alessandro had with Pope Julius II that Laurie just mentioned. He was quite admired by the Pope, wasn't he? And the Pope really furthered his career.
The Pope were Julius II before and Leo X after. And so he was the cult painter, differently from Michelangelo that had a bad character. Raphael was a man who was loved by the patrons. So he was a perfect courtier, as Baldassare Castiglione, his friend in Rome and in Urbino, to write the Cortegiano, was his friend, and so he was in perfect harmony with the patrons. It was a particularity of Raphael, so it was admired by the contemporary, as also was Vasari, that speaks about the good behavior, the good character of Raphael.
Mm-hmm. And he did some frescoes or something inside the papal apartment that are very famous.
Yeah. When Raphael first met Leonardo da Vinci, they were working together in Florence. They were working there at the same time. And, in that early period for Raphael, he was producing beautiful portraits, paintings of the Madonna and Child. And that certainly captured the attention of Pope Julius II, who called him, really summoned him to Rome to work at the papal court. And at that time, Julius II was changing the appearance of Rome. He was changing it into an imperial Renaissance world. And that meant a kind of grandification of the Vatican. And so there were beautiful, from the previous generation, there were beautiful frescoes in the papal apartments that Pope Julius II asked to be, done over. And so he asked Raphael to take the responsibility for frescoing or decorating the papal apartments. And the first product of that decoration was the Stanza della Signatura, which is the Rome of the papal signature. It's one of the private rooms of the Pope. And in that, most people will probably know the beautiful School of Athens, which has become a kind of emblem or icon for humanism during the Italian Renaissance period, showing the ancient philosophers in dialogue, in a kind of discussion or dispute on the theological treatises. And it was enormously successful, and Pope Julius II asked that Raphael become the court painter. And so what Alessandro Cecchi was just talking about was, Raphael fit in perfectly to the court world because he was smart, he was savvy, he was also political, which is something that Leonardo was not. And, Leonardo was also working between Milan and Florence and Rome as well. And, one might think of Leonardo as being the greater painter. But, Leonardo had this problem of sort of not being able to finish works in a timely fashion. And Michelangelo, of course, this great triumvirate of painters, Leonardo, Raphael, and Michelangelo. Michelangelo was also working at the Vatican at exactly the same moment.
Oh, my. Isn't that something?
But Michelangelo was a little melancholy. He was taciturn. He was kind of difficult. He liked to do what he liked to do, and he didn't like to be bothered. Raphael, on the other hand, liked to do what he liked to do, but he was also capable of engaging in a conversation about the program. And I think the popes and that he worked for liked him very much.
Yes. Did he have a relationship with Michelangelo as well? Did he admire him? And
well, he certainly knew him. They were working only yards away. Oh. Raphael was painting the Stanza della Signatura at exactly the same moment that Michelangelo was painting the Sistine Ceiling. And in fact, in the Stanza della Signatura, in that beautiful fresco of the School of Athens, Raphael included himself. He's the only figure who looks directly out. And he also painted Michelangelo in the guise of one of the philosophers of ancient antiquity. So, yes, he absolutely knew him and certainly admired him. And you can sort of see the influence of Michelangelo and Raphael's work.
Hmm. Do you want to talk a little more about the influence of this pope and just why all of this incredible art happened at this time in Italy, Alessandro?
The influence of Raphael was very important because he had a very large, huge workshop, and many of his pupils, of his collaborators, went away from Rome. For example, Julius Romano, Giulio Pippi, was the court artist of the Duke of Mantua the Gonzaga family. So many other, Giovanni da Udine went back to his native town. So many other, Perin del Vaga went to Genoa. So the way of conceive the art of the Raphael workshop was international in Italy and in many regions, in many courts. They spoke in Raphael's language in art. So it was very important, and it was admired. He was admired by Vasari, because it was an example how to lead a workshop, how to organize a workshop. Vasari tried to imitate Raphael in his life, and he was a very organizer. But Raphael was a model also for the way to manage a workshop, a large workshop. So we had Polidoro da Caravaggio. There were artists coming from all the parts of Italy, and Raphael was capable to organize to make travel this man, so the best man of art in Rome in that period.
Let's go to some phone calls. Our number is 800-486-8655. Stella from Sturgeon Bay. Hi, Stella.
Hi. I'm calling from Sturgeon Bay, which is where we would be traveling from to see the exhibit. And my question is, are there any days or day that is or are less crowded that would be better to visit, times that are good? What is the name of the museum so we can look it up to get the address and directions?
Good. Thank you for coming from Sturgeon Bay. We love that you're interested in making the trip. So we are the Milwaukee Art Museum. We are located on the lakefront in the city of Milwaukee, and our address is 700 North Art Museum Drive. And if you call the museum, you can go online, of course, www.mam.org, or certainly call the museum. That number is 414-3200. Somebody will be happy to give you directions. And in terms of coming to the museum, we have a fairly large attendance on the weekends. So coming during the weekday is probably a good idea.
And what is the admission fee?
We have a general admission fee of $12, and there is no upcharge to see this painting. It's included in the general admission fee.
Okay, and what are your hours?
We're open from 10 to 5 and open until 8 every day, except Monday, and then we're open until 8 o'clock on Thursdays.
10 to 5 every day, and then until 8 on Thursdays?
Right. And we're closed on Mondays, so and open until 8 o'clock on Thursdays.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Have a great trip, Stella.
Yeah.
Well, Stella's in for a treat. To see the Calatrava as well is quite a treat.
And it's spring. It's a great time to get on the road.
Yes,
it's
exactly.
Like today, it's like a day in Florence. It's beautiful.
I know. It is beautiful. Now, maybe this is suggesting the wrong time, but a friend of mine and I just happened. We were at the museum for another of your wonderful exhibits last year, and just by chance, the Art in Bloom was going on, and we enjoyed it so thoroughly. The flowers that it's a competition. The flowers are matched to paintings. Yeah. Is that a good time to come if you're going to come from Sturgeon Bay? That's coming up in April, I know, but it's fun.
Right. April 8th through the 11th starts on April 8th on Thursday afternoon, and we have a florist and garden clubs and associations from all over the state of Wisconsin who come in and do floral arrangements in response to paintings, great paintings in the collection. So it's a fantastic time to come to the museum because it's essentially we turn the museum over to the world of flowers, and it's a fantastic time to be there. So we have a variety of lectures and speakers and workshops and programs on flower arranging. And this year they've connected the Art in Bloom theme to our street scene exhibition, our photography exhibition. So you can also learn a lot about doing flower arrangements along the street and along the curb and in your flower boxes and just everywhere.
Yeah, wonderful. Here's the number if you'd like to join the conversation, 800-486-8655. We'll let you go back and look at more of your Raphaels. Oh, do you work in a great place, Alessandro. And thank you so much. Can we perhaps see more of them down the road? This will be the start of something big for you in Milwaukee, right?
Okay.
We hope so.
Yeah. And I'm sure that people who are listening to you will definitely want to stop at the Pitti Palace in Florence. Thank you, Alessandro.
Dalmatian.
What was that, dummy? What did he say?
Oh, he's very pleased.
Oh, he's very pleased.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Okay. I'll learn that word again. It'll be my new word for the day. 800-486-8655 is our number. Raphael died so young. Do we know why he died? I hate to think of such a young death because he could have done even more great masterpieces.
Certainly. He was just at the high point of his career when he died. Okay, well, you know, there's a lot of myth around the death of Raphael, and some of it goes back to his relationship with his beautiful model. We're told by this, you know, historian Giorgio Vasari that we keep mentioning again and again, that Raphael died of, quote, the excesses of love. So that he had such a passion. He had such a passion for this beautiful woman that it seemed to preoccupy a bit of his time. We also know that, and there must be something to this, because we know that while he was working on the frescoes for the Vatican and the beautiful Stanza della Signatura, that Raphael was a little slow to show up for work every day. And so finally the Pope, who was eager to have the renovation done and was eager to have the frescoes completed, installed this model in and Raphael's beloved in the Vatican, so that he could guarantee that Raphael would actually show up for work in the morning.
In the Vatican?
In the Vatican.
She was right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Died of the excesses of love. Right. Oh, Lori. That's sad, isn't it? Didn't the Pope try to fix him up with, or he was engaged at some cardinal's niece or something too?
People always ask me, okay, so if this is, you know, in fact, Raphael's great love, did he ever marry her? And, of course, with the intrigue of the Renaissance, the answer to that is no. As I said earlier, Raphael was a very political figure. He was a very astute man and understood the politics of the Vatican. Cardinal Bibbiena, one of the more influential cardinals in Rome at this time, and also responsible for many of the major commissions in Rome, wanted Raphael to marry his niece. So Raphael was engaged to her for 5 years while he was seeing and having his relationship with this woman, his model. Perhaps her name is Margherita Luti. And for whatever reason, although he was engaged to this woman, to the cardinal's niece, he never pulled the trigger. And my guess is he didn't want to. You know, he probably just kept coming up with one excuse after another because, in fact, he loved this other woman.
Mm. And you talked yesterday, which I found very touching, that this woman was his muse, probably, and that she inspired him, as one person can do to us sometimes, to greatness. To his greatness? Is that going too far?
Yeah, I think there were probably two people in Raphael's career who inspired him. The first was Leonardo. Raphael was 21 when he moved from Urbino, from a provincial city in Italy, to the great city of Florence. And we know that he connected with Leonardo and that he was certainly influential in his career, and that Raphael much admired the painting, the portrait of the Mona Lisa. So certainly there was a connection there that continued even after Raphael moved on to Rome. So I would say that was one person who influenced him, much as a teacher or mentor might. And then there is the woman who was his model, his great beloved. And I think she was a great source of inspiration for him, maybe even a muse. He certainly admired her beauty. He included her again and again in portraits, paintings of the Madonna and the Child, or this portrait, or another portrait called La Fornarina. And so I think he kept coming back to her because he saw her as a kind of template for experimenting with his ideal conception of beauty. Mm. And in The Woman with the Veil, in a wide variety of ways, he comes back to what beauty is, in the way that he shapes the face, in the way of the curve of the eyebrow, the color palette, the way he puts the paint on the canvas and just explores this beautiful, almost a kind of Venetian, very fluid, dramatic way of painting, and puts her in this wonderful, sumptuous garment. So I think in a way she was his muse, and she inspired him, I think, to greatness, because she was there for him to keep coming back to this ideal of beauty.
Mm. You told that so beautifully. You think about people in history that movies should be made of. It was a beautiful movie you just described, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was, or a poem. Maybe somebody's written a wonderful poem about that. It certainly inspires that.
Yeah.
In a way. We need to pause for a moment. We'll return. Our number is 800-486-8655. Our guest is Laurie Winters, Director of Exhibitions at the Milwaukee Art Museum. She was the force behind this great exhibit that is now here in Wisconsin at the Art Museum, Raphael, The Woman with the Veil. It will be on display in a room of its own, March 27th. It's been there for a couple of days now through June 6th. 800-486-8655. We have an email to read, too, if you'd like to send an email, talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We go to an email for you, Lori. Can you address the lack of paintings of males, celebration of the male body, because of so few female artists? Pat from Elm Grove.
Really interesting question, actually.
Yes.
There are wonderful portraits of men during the Renaissance. So there is that standard of male portraiture. And from my perspective as an art historian, I love to compare the conception of the women's body with the male body, and it is dramatically different. For example, women during the Renaissance period were often painted in interior spaces, most often painted in interior spaces. So, put yourself back in time to 1500. Women, particularly women of means, rarely left the home. There were two occasions when they might go outside, and that would be to get water from the well, and I can assure you, the woman with the veil never went to the woman with the veil never went to the well. But women also would go to church, and so this was the going to church was the moment of sort of social engagement in the Italian community. That was where you met other people. You perhaps would meet your future husband, and so forth. Men, on the other hand, are often celebrated outside of the home. So they're often shown in a cityscape or in a landscape, and they're shown in a more dynamic pose. So portraits do reflect the culture of the period in which they're produced in a lot of different ways.
Hmm. Another question, this one from Patrick. I'm looking forward to coming to Milwaukee to see the painting. I'm also going to Rome and Florence in early August. Do you have suggestions for seeing Raphael's work there?
Oh, fantastic for you.
Yes, it's not a bad trip.
Great. I wish I could go. Okay, so you'll definitely want to go to the Palazzo Pitti. As Dr. Alessandro Cecchi mentioned earlier, there are 11 Raphael paintings there. You must also go to the Uffizi, mm-hmm. Which is perhaps the greatest museum in Florence. And there you'll see not only works by Raphael, but also Botticelli and Caravaggio, painters who are also sort of on my top 10 list. And then no trip to Florence would be complete without going to the Accademia to see Michelangelo's beautiful David. And of course, you're going at peak tourist season, so be prepared to stand in line.
I asked you this yesterday because I thought it would be interesting to see what inspires you to think about this question. When we talk about this woman being an inspiration for greatness in Raphael. Are there other, you're surrounded by paintings, gorgeous paintings all the time, and you're bringing these exhibits. Is there something that you look at or a person who brought that forward in you? It's good to think about those people in our lives. Maybe it's in art. Maybe it's somebody who taught you. Maybe it's a next door neighbor. I don't know.
Oh, Kathleen, that's a question I've never been asked before. I don't know. I had as a child, I was always very interested in art and in drawing and I had a university professor who was very inspiring. So, you know, perhaps that was the moment of becoming interested in art. And anyway,
when you look at that picture, there's something that I can't even put into words. But when we were there yesterday, there's something that happens sort of internally when you look at. I don't know very much about history, art history, but I think that I know when something is wonderful. I can tell it in dance. Yeah. I can tell it in music. You can tell when you're looking at a painting that is truly a work of art.
Yeah.
Does that happen to you, this internal thing that goes on when you see that painting every day?
Yeah. For me, it's pretty, you know, I'm one of the questions I often get is, so what's a masterpiece? And we tried to address that in this exhibition just a little. For me, a masterpiece is a work that we keep coming back to. Every generation comes back to it throughout every century. Generations come back to it. And it has a different meaning for each generation, but each generation recognizes that in some way it's important.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And there are great works of art from the Renaissance forward that simply have that quality. In some respects, it's undefinable, and the definition for each generation is different.
Hmm. Yeah. Let's go to Grace from Quantico. Hi, Grace.
Hi.
Hi. Go right ahead, Grace.
Oh, well, I was listening to your program, and I was going to tell you that we have a group of creative writers who meet. We've met for about 6 or 7 years now in Big Bend, Wisconsin. And it just so happens that we always meet on Mondays. And I had seen the article in the Milwaukee Journal about the lady with the veil coming to the Milwaukee Art Museum, and found the story so filled with mystique and intrigue that I thought it would be fun for our class to write about it. So I mounted all the pictures and brought them to our meeting place, and we discussed it and delved a little bit into the background and talked about Raphael and his life and interpretations, and then all wrote a fictional story.
Oh.
And it was very interesting. We ended up with so many different interpretations of the picture and the background and what happened. And of course, some of them were filled with mystery and intrigue.
Well, this is a good example of a work inspiring through the generations. And it can mean something different for everyone, but nonetheless, it still inspires.
And you have, I want to make sure that we talk about this. You can see the painting, but you also have a whole host of lectures that you're doing, and there are book clubs associated with this.
Right. We do have a number of lectures related to the exhibition, so I'd recommend people just visit the website for those. We do, however, on April 11th, which is our Art in Bloom weekend, we have a special lecture by Andrea Baer, who is the curator of Renaissance painting at the Metropolitan Museum of Art. She's coming in, and she's going to talk about love and sex in the Renaissance. So why not?
Why not? Love and sex in the Renaissance. That's good. Thanks, Grace. Pat is next from Green Bay. Hello, Pat.
Hello. Hello, Kathleen.
Hi, Pat.
Well, we're so glad to hear the program, because this coming week, my AFS daughter of 32 years ago is coming back to Wisconsin from Italy.
Oh.
She lives in Treviso. My husband and I spent 3 weeks this last summer with them. She is also an English teacher in Treviso, and every year she takes her class somewhere and immerses them in a language. this year, she and a friend, who is also an English teacher, are bringing 40 students to Wisconsin, to Little Lamira, Wisconsin. Well, they will stay with host families and be immersed in the language for 2 weeks. And, of course, Cecilia, our daughter, will be have some free time. So we're planning on taking her to the Calatrava.
Yes.
Visit. Yes. Yes.
Well,
it'll be a great time.
Yes.
I'm so thankful that I listened today, and it'll be a great time to share with her.
I think you will have a good time. We also have an exhibition up called Street Scene, the Psychological Gesture in American Photography. So that's also going on. So there are a lot of different reasons to come to the museum right now.
Wonderful.
There sure are.
Can you imagine just bringing 40 students to Little Lamira from Italy, to Treviso, Italy?
Hey, well, that is what cultural exchange is all about. We do it with art at the museum, and we place a great importance on that. So I'm very happy to hear that students are coming to Wisconsin as well. I think they're going to be pleasantly surprised.
Oh, they are. Lori, thank you. It's always such a great pleasure to speak with you, and thanks for all your work. You've just brought some wonderful exhibits to Wisconsin. Yeah, our great pleasure as well. Carmela, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For being with us as well. It was fun. Thanks for all of your calls, everybody. The exhibit is at the Milwaukee Art Museum, and it will be there until June 6th, Raphael, the Woman with the Veil. So you're invited to attend that. The Art Museum phone number, if you'd like more information, is 414-227-3200. And the email, Lori, is
www.mam.org.
Mam.org, M-A-M.org. Thank you. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning and Chrissy Pease for producing this program. And thanks to Chrissy for on-air production. Lori Winters, Director of Exhibitions at the Milwaukee Art Museum. We'll be with you again tomorrow.